Father is Sonny. That name. He's going to be here with us tonight preaching God's word. Don't you miss this evening. And then, all right, guys, all the gentlemen in the room, I need you to look at me, right? I'm going to help you out right now. Valentine's Day is coming up. It's coming around the corner. What you got planned? I got you taken care of, okay? Johnny W., comedian here with supper, you and your bride, $30 out the door. That's it. You're going to laugh hysterically. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to walk out. My wife and I met him at a marriage conference with Gary Chapman one time, and you're going to laugh so hard. You're going to have a great, great time. Don't you miss this extraordinary opportunity. We are glad that you're here. Let's stand to our feet, and let's worship our Lord this morning.
Good morning, y'all. Worship with us this morning.
Who am I that are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing.
Thank you.
Amen. That's wonderful singing. You may be seated. I'd like to read for you out of Psalm 139. Today is what we call Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I'd like to just remind us of how we were made. And the scriptures say this in Psalm 139, verse 13 and following. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. And David says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, but yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me. Therefore, they speak against you. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who you hate? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count my enemies. Listen to how he closes this chapter. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Listen to this. Know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. I am so excited to have a guest with us this morning. Miss Rhonda, you can come up here as well. You're not our guest, but you good? Okay, good. Yeah, she didn't want to come up. But Miss Lucy, you are going to come up. Miss Lucy Huff, you may recognize her name. She's at the Fayette Pregnancy Care Center here in Fayetteville, and you can come on up here. And I wanted her to explain. We're kicking off a drive today. You may be very familiar with this, but I think it's so important for us to understand what these bottles represent, the ministry that Miss Lucy is a part of, and also, I don't want to forget to mention Mr. Randy as well. Okay, there, he's in the third row over there as well. We're thankful for both of you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the bottle drive, how we can be praying for your ministry and you, and what we can do here in Fayetteville, and we're going to take some time just to pray over you and Sanctity of Life this morning.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you, Rhonda, for arranging the table with baby bottles out front. You'll see it as you leave. Please come by our table. Take a baby bottle. If you would like to collect coins or make contributions to the center. But what's more important is if you take a baby bottle, please put it out in your home where you'll see it frequently. And let that be a reminder to you to pray for us. And thank you, Pastor Josh, for inviting me and for observing Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. This is the day that we mourn the over 60 million babies who have been lost since the legalization of abortion. This is the day that we pray for the unborn and their safety in the womb. And it's also the day that we pray for those who have experienced abortion because they may be carrying the shame and guilt and feeling of unforgiveness. John 8:12 says that Jesus said that he came into the world to be a light, and that those who follow him will move from darkness into the light of life. At Fayette Pregnancy Resource Center, we are the light of life to those who come through our doors. We are the light of hope to those who are facing an unplanned pregnancy and are overwhelmed by it. It might be a teenager who's alone and feels abandoned, but it also might be a married woman in her 40s who thought her childbearing years were behind her. It could be someone like the woman who had four children and came to us, who had just had a baby, only 6 months old, and finds that she's pregnant again and just doesn't know how she can do it. We are the light of deliverance and freedom to those who are lost in this dark world. Last year, 26 new believers came to know Christ because they heard the gospel at the pregnancy center. And over 300 times the gospel was shared. Praise God. We are the light of provision for those who are poor and not sure of how they can handle the financial burden of a new baby. We are the light of provision for those college students who would have to quit school if it were not for the pregnancy center providing them with baby items and materials for the baby so that they could stay in school. We are the light of wisdom for parents who need help, and I'm so excited to hear that you're having a parenting conference, because child abuse and child neglect are very serious concerns in our culture. We are the light of truth to those who do not know or refuse to believe that life begins at conception. And finally, we are the light of forgiveness to those who have experienced abortion in their lives. At our center, we know that God forgives when we repent, but it may take a while for him to totally heal us. And so there's provision at our center for that. So join us as we become and continue to be the light of life in our community. And if you're interested, stop by the table and talk with me and Rhonda. And thank you again for inviting me.
Absolutely. Miss Lucy, can you come down here? Mr. Randy, why don't you come up here as well? Would you mind standing right here for a second? Mr. Randy, would you mind come stand next to your bride? I want to invite us to come and pray over their ministry. And I know some of you have a burden for this. I certainly do. You may not know my story, but I was born when my mother was in high school. And I am so grateful for ministries like this. I don't come from a saved background, and I believe firmly that it was seeds planted along the way that led to my parents' salvation, because ministries provided opportunities for unexpected pregnancies. And I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for your ministry here in our community on a personal level. But dear friends, we need to pray over them. We need to just ask God forgiveness of our country's sins as well. We have 2 Chronicles 7:14 in our Bibles. It says if we would repent, if we would turn our eyes to God, he'd heal our land. Dear friends, we need to do that now. If you have a burden to pray for this country, you come. If you have a burden to pray over this ministry, would you just put your hands on them and ask God to let them be the lighthouse of hope to a dying world found through the truths of Jesus here in Fayette County. Dear friends, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a leader in this church, you're a first-time attender, you feel a burden to stand up, step out, and come down to these altar steps, you come right now. Dear friends, you come. Let's pray together. Let's bow together this morning. Maybe there's a particular burden you need to pray for this morning. Would you pray for the Jemerson family? Pray for Miss Betty. Pray for Miss Betty this morning. Pray for Mr. David this morning. If you have a particular burden you want to lift to the Lord, you come. You pray. Make an altar right where you sit. Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come to you. We thank you for the ministry we heard about and how they are changing lives one person at a time. God, thank you so much for how you're using Miss Lucy and Mr. Randy throughout our community. Give them boldness and courage to stand in your truth and in your light. Lord, I pray we as Flat Creek come around them and encourage them in any way, shape, or form, Lord, that we would also stand in your truth. Lord, we turn our attention to you. We acknowledge that you're here. We lean into what you have for us. Speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, to be more like your Son, Jesus. You are the author of life. You tell us in Job, you give and you take away. A blessed be your name. Lord, we pray for the Jemerson family now. God, we bless your name. God, it's so good to see Sam here today, and would you strengthen his body as well? It's so good to see many people we've been praying for on our prayer list that are here walking and in good health. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, we pray you would be blessed throughout this service. We turn our attention to you. Father, speak to us by your Holy Spirit, through your word, through singing this morning. May you be exalted. May you be praised. We love you. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all God's children said, amen and amen. As folks are making their way back to their seats, children, you're dismissed for worship as well. And we're so grateful that you're here. Just me.
Y'all stand and worship with us again this morning.
Before you found me, you
be seated. Gentlemen, you may make your way forward. Continue to worship the Lord through our tithes and our offerings this morning. I want to thank you for your generosity every single week and last week. Dear friends, we had the opportunity to go. There was over 30 of us here that went out all over through the community through our Go Nights. And many of you went to Southwest Christian Hospice and you delivered the flowers that are in front of us. We broke those up and sent those out and you prayed over people. And we this week we're going out to the government buildings and praying over them. And we invite you to come to that. Well, thank you for your generosity every week that allows us to go out and do these kind of touches. We're sharing Christ's love in a very practical way. Thank you every week for your generosity, and I just want to, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's in the name of Jesus we pray. We thank you for the way you so have blessed our lives. You've given to us this desire of our hearts to give back to you. Father, we pray that your gospel would advance here locally and globally. In the name of Jesus we pray. I just love that song. I appreciate y'all so, so much. What a great song, wasn't it? I'll praise you even in the desert, desert song. I am so grateful that we are on this journey together as we talk about Engage 2018. We've talked about coming, Of course, we love for you to. I preach better for you to know that. We have a good time when we're together. In Hebrews chapter 10, we traveled together and we said, don't forsake the assembly of believers. We looked and we explored. Okay, not only are we to come, but we're to become a part of the family. To become a part of the family. Then we looked at you connect in our world. One of the ways that we're trying to mobilize people and push people out to win, send, and grow people is through the Sunday school class. It's the reaching arm. It's the teaching arm. It's the ministering arm of our fellowship. Last week we dug down deep and we talked about roots and growing deep in our faith. And when we talked about one key element, it was the Word of God, like newborn babes going after the Word, hungry for the Word. We want you to come. We want you to connect. We want you to grow. But if you have your bracelet, what's the next one? Okay, three of you got the bracelet. You all need to pick up a bracelet. Serve. We want you to serve. And I know this morning is going to be a great encouragement to your life as we talk about serving. Through the use of your spiritual gifts, God has uniquely gifted you. In preparation for this week, I thought of a story. Spurgeon. He's a 19th century preacher out of England. And he just wasn't a preacher, he was a pastor too. And the difference between that, he just didn't stand behind his pulpit. He went and visited in your home. And one occasion, he was visiting a poor lady in a poor house. And he walked in, and as he was there, very unique, he noticed a sign-framed document, legal document, that transferred a great deal of wealth to this poor lady. But she had it hung and framed and put on her wall. She had no clue what it was, Brian. Not a clue. And they had this wealthy estate, and when he had passed, he left everything to her. And all she knew is that she loved that man, and she appreciated that man, and she put it on the wall, not knowing what it was. And Charles Spurgeon said, ma'am, do you not know what you have right here? I bank wondered the same question, too. Whatever happened to that man's estate, who did he give it to? You know what's interesting is when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he left you and I an incredible giftedness. He left you and I incredible giftedness. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, why don't you open it up to the book of Romans, chapter 12. If you're unfamiliar with where Romans may be, you can open up that pew Bible in front of you to page 920. I got you covered. And once you find that, if able, would you stand for the reading in honor of God's Word this morning? Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, the Word of God says this. Grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same faith, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in my mind just went blank. In appropriation of our faith. Thank you. Verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in ministry. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhorting, he with diligence shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would honor your word as you always do. You tell us it will never return to us void. So, Lord, I just ask that you use me as an empty vessel to speak your truth this morning. Illuminate your words before our eyes. Embed the place. We'll serve you. We'll be more in the image of your Son. Lord, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we find ourselves in this context of Romans chapter 12. It's a very, very pivotal point in the book. It would be helpful right here and right now. A crossword puzzle comes to mind. In the first 11 chapters, we're working our way doctrinally. In the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, you're working your way through the heavy-duty doctrine. In a lot of ways, you're working vertical. You can look at Romans chapter 1 and find that we are depraved, that we are so bent out of God's will, that, dear friends, outside of the grace of God, there's no shot for us. In fact, he tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all going to incline to sin. We find that when we hit Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin, right, we all fall short of the glory of God. We launch over to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Because we sin, we will die, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We lay chapter 5, that God demonstrated his love for us, yet while we're sinners, Christ died for us. We work our way through some of the great passages of Romans. We're working vertically. We see that God has justified us. God has declared us as righteous when we call upon his name. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You as righteous, day that you place your faith and trust in Christ, there is no more condemnation in you because of what Christ has done in your life. Amen. That's Romans 8, verse 1. Because of Romans chapter 10, you've called upon his name. You believe in your heart that he's resurrected, that he's out of this, that he is Lord, and you will be saved. Romans 10, verse 13. Marvelous doctrine. Dazzling doctrine. When we look at the first 11 chapters, rather, you are working your way vertically between you and God. 5 chapters, we work horizontally. We move horizontally, and it's no longer about just our relationship with the Father, it's about our relationship with one another and how we reflect the Father. It's about these gifts that he's given us. It's about our role and our position. Now we take our position and we take our practice and we put them to minister to one another. So we find the pivotal hinge to all of this is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You can almost see the Apostle Paul on his knees begging, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I urge you. You see the words there. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your reasonable service or worship. This is your logical worship to God, that you would present your bodies, that you would be transformed, not conformed to the image of the world. You're not letting the world squeeze you into its mold. You're transformed. You're being renewed in the Word of God. And as we horizontally work, then the Apostle Paul drops it on us. 3 extremely important things that you and I have to absorb in, that we're not here to sit, soak, and sour, dear friends. That's not the goal here. What the goal is that we are uniquely gifted by God. And the first thing I want you to see, the spiritual gifts are grace gifts. I want you to notice verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me. The spiritual gifts are grace gifts. What do I circle that word, kairos? And you can see this word right here, this beautiful word, kairos. It's where we get our word charismatic or charisma. God has given you charisma. You're charismatic. And some of you just... You have grace because of what you've surrendered. You've given your life, your heart, your mind, your soul to Jesus. And dear friend, I'm telling you, the wonder and the beauty of that word, when you open up the word kairos, grace, what you find is you are charmful. You are winsome. You are attractive. You are a child of God. He has built all of this into you. He's molded all of this into you. He's given you a gift that makes you spiritually attractive. But what is these grace gifts? Let's just define what grace gifts are, shall we? Given spiritual ability for service and ministry in the church. Every single gift was given for the edification of the church. None were meant for you privately to hold on. It's not a toy, it's a tool. It's a tool to build the kingdom of God. They're the supernatural gift of God to edify his church. So we've defined what grace gifts are, but let's secondly look. Y'all are listening pretty good. Don't get too excited. Now, my third point's real long. Secondly, the spiritual gifts. We've been given these grace gifts the moment we've given our life to Christ. You have been given a wonderful, marvelous gift. You're a charismatic child of God. But they're diverse in all their ways. There are four separate lists in the New Testament that I want you to write down. You can study these. You can go on to Right Now Media and you can dig. There are four separate lists that you need to be aware of in your New Testament that speak to spiritual gifts. We're not going to cover all of them, but I want you to know they're there. Romans 12 is where we're going to be today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 deals with a host of them. And you can see words of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, speaking in languages, interpreting languages, which we have an interpreter right now translating for us. Hallelujah, amen, right? Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, the apostle ones kind of faded away because of the canon when it was closed, the fact that they were very eyewitnesses of Christ. Speaking and serving, you see in 1 Peter chapter 4. Today, however, we're in Romans. I thought it'd be important for us to look through and unpack some of these today. Talk about engaging 2018. I want you to use your spiritual gift all that you can for the glory of God. Let's begin to just talk about and work through some of our thinking on the issue of spiritual gifts. Look what he says in verse 3. To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself highly than he ought to think. He's trying to frame our mind. The Apostle Paul is trying to get us prepared here that we ought, if you just circle, if you make notes in your Bible, anybody make notes in their Bible? I love to make notes in my Bible. If you just see this lift out of the passage here, three times he uses the word think in one verse. He's trying to drive home about this renewing of our mind, and so he begins to drive home about what you think about yourself. And he says it there again, but to think soberly. Notice this. To think of himself, you ought not to think of yourself more highly. The word, they have some prefixes in the original language. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Is the prefix that's found there. Don't hyperthink about yourself. That's kind of tough to do in our day and age, right? Look at how many. I love my selfies. I like my social media. It's tough when we start to work through some of this and try to practice this. How does this flesh itself out? Through social media. We got degree droppers out there. Love to tell how intellectually gifted they are. Love to tell how much money they have, how far they travel, how more they're more gifted in certain areas. They watch their Facebook, Instagram, Twitter feeds. And a great place to see all of this in action is pastors. It happens all the time. You get a bunch of pastors together and they just love to brag. The Bible tells us don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. In fact, it tells us think soberly. Think with sound judgment. Know your strengths. Dear friends, church family, know your strengths in Christ and lean into those. It's not attractive if you say you don't have any because, dear friends, God has given you gifts. He has. He's given every single one of us in Christ a spiritual gift. Uniquely gifted. You, sir, you, ma'am, have been gifted by our Creator God. That one that formed us and knit us in our mother's womb that we read about, He has uniquely gifted you. So walking around and saying, I just haven't been. No, you've been given a gift from Almighty God. I love verse 4. Individualistic spirit about this. We're encouraged to be a part of a body, operating these gifts in faith. We are a body. We're members dependent upon one another. I need you. You need me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Notice this. Then they make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. See verse 3 and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of other than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Remember, it's God who gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. We are members of the body. That means the person that you met for the first time, the follower of Jesus, they're members of this body. That means the person that's sitting on the same pew as you, we are members together in this body. In verse 5, the church is that very familiar phrase, the body of Christ, that Paul loves to go to again and again. It's the body, it's we, not the body of me. Not the body of me. I've heard of churches like this. I don't know if you've ever heard of a church like this. But when they actually think that they have their own seat in the church building. Have you heard of a church like this? I have never seen this. Now, some of you are laughing. Now, I'm about to offend you, just so you know. I've given you a heads up. Not a one of us have our seat in the church. We have a seat. Now, there may be some grooves in your seat from where you've been sitting the last 50 years. But if someone beats you to this, now, if I hear of you saying to a guest or a friend, that's my seat, I'm going to start paying people to sit where you sit every week. We have seats, but none of them are our seat, right? Because we're a body. This is our family. Together, we welcome guests. We welcome friends. We welcome all to sit at the table of grace. No matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is, we invite you to come sit at the table of grace and hear the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. But there's something we need to talk about. There's really two particular things we need to mention about body. One is it's united. It's unity. The unity of the physical body is so vital. The unity of the spiritual body is so vital. Just as you cannot sever a member from the physical body without the entire body coming to its aid, neither can you sever an individual member from the body of Christ. There being deep harm and personal pain within the church body. There is a oneness in this body. Somebody's saying, I'm with you. I get it. You ever got a splinter? That just coming up the attic this week, and I literally got this tiniest little splinter. Now I'm a wuss, so I'll give you that. But number two, my whole body, I was digging into that. How about this? You ever get a pebble in your shoe? That'll wreck your day, son. You get a pebble in your shoe and walk around a little bit. Your whole body is coming to the aid. Oh, so it is in the spiritual body. Oh, there's a thorn in your flesh, and the body comes to you, to your aid, to lift you up, to pray for you, to encourage you. There is unity in this body, but dear friends, there's also diversity. The obvious thing that we notice within the diversity, while the human body certainly is one, there are many members. No two members have the same function. That diversity does not detract from the unity of the body. Rather, it complements it. So within the church walls and the church family, both local and global, we are diverse in our gifting. In fact, the Apostle Paul gives us seven different diverse gifts in this passage alone. Right here. Let's begin to just kind of walk through them together. You have prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership. And let's look at number three in your notes. The spiritual gifts are for ministry. Let's look at our ministry as God has given these gifts to us. Let's look at the seven in front of us today. There's the gift of prophecy. In verse 6, you run across this gift of prophecy. Let us use them. If prophecy, prophesy. Well, you know that in the Bible, that when Revelation was complete, the end of the canon took place, and the prophets of old used to be foretellers. They would communicate exactly what God wanted them to communicate. And now today, since the canon, God uses people to foretell his written word, his communicative word to others, to foretell what God has said in this day and age of grace. And so there are some that have this gift of preaching. There are some that have this gift of prophecy to explain, expound upon, exegete the word of God into your life. There's also this wonderful gift in serving in verse 7. I don't think it's by mistake. One of the most popularized gifts is prophecy and preaching, and then right next to it is the gift of serving. I don't think that was by mistake. I think it was designed by the Holy Spirit of God to remind us of our call. Yes, we foretell the scriptures, we pray scriptures, but dear friend, let us not forget, for those of us in the room who have this wonderful, wonderful gift of serving, sometimes we fill out our spiritual gift surveys. If you go to elmertowns.com, there's a free spiritual gift survey there, elmertowns.com. You go there, you fill it out, and some of us will come up with serving and think, oh man, serving? I don't know if there's a gift more like Jesus than this one. In fact, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I don't know if there's a more better for every single one of us in the body of Christ to step in and to own the fact, I am called by God. He has gifted me in the area of service. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving. So how can I serve? If you're one in this room this morning, you say, I have the gift of service. I have the gift of, how can I be used? I'm so glad you asked that question, because I got a bunch of answers for you. We have assistant teachers we could use you in. We have musicians that we would just love to have up here serving. We need about 30 more in our choir, right? Not all ladies. We need some of you men to step up now. We welcome everybody, but it's just, we just don't want Dustin. We want some of you men to step up in your spot and sing in this choir. We need 30 of you to do that. You can serve there. Oh, I love that. You can serve in the nursery. You can change, literally can change diapers for Jesus. And I praise God. I praise God for you. Greeters. You can serve as a greeter. You can minister as a greeter, as an usher in student ministry. We're praying for 4 couples right now to step into our student ministry and say, I have a burden for students, and I want to come alongside of them in some of the most formidable years of your life, and I want to walk with you, and I want to journey with you, and I want to reflect Pastor Ryan's ministry into your life. We're praying for 4 couples to step into that role. We're praying for children's ministry workers. We're praying for 6 couples. They would step up with a burden to serve children. We're praying for sound people. We're so grateful to God for our sound folks, aren't you? I know I am. I'm so grateful for our video and audio team that make this available for so many of our homebounds and friends on Facebook Live. And we welcome you, number one. But number two, we're so thankful the gospel can be proclaimed and get out. There's a lot of ways to serve here and to use that gift. How about the next one in verse 17? He just kind of moves us on to teaching. Brother Mark, are we all filled with Sunday school teachers? Oh no, we're never filled with Sunday school teachers. You can use your gift right here, the supernatural ability to teach and preach the gospel. Remember 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak oracles of God. You're speaking the very oracles of God. The evidence of one that has this gift is centered not around their creative ability, but what really distinguishes a person, whether he has this gift or not, is the content in which he preaches or she teaches. It's a close connection with your teaching. This is for the life of me why I can't figure out why many of us in ministries so-called have lost fact of the sight that if we're called by God, we're not called to teach our own message. We're called to be faithful to the text and expect the text, not be cool. If you can be cool and teach the truth, that's awesome. But dear friends, I'd much rather be faithful than cool. I would. I'd rather stand before you knowing that I taught you the word of God and go to bed at ease. Try to stand up here and impress you. Communicate the truth. In season, out of season. Think about the teachers that you've had come along in your life. One of them is Miss Smeltzer. She comes to my mind. She was my eighth grade science teacher. I was struggling in science, and she said, Josh, you know, I was in eighth grade. She said, here's what I'm going to do. You do well on this test, and I'm going to let you drive my car at recess or whenever we went out and played or whatever. At lunchtime, I couldn't believe it. If I do well, you're going to let an eighth grader just get on out there and drive your car? Yeah. Boy, I started studying real hard. Sure enough, I did well. I'm out there in her minivan, seeing my friends outside shooting hoops. And look at me. I'm driving. The reason I bring all that is because mentors in the finest level of teaching, that's what it's about. Mentors is the finest level of teaching. And I'll never forget the day I got ordained and Miss Smeltzer was there and she gave a book in my hand. She said, I'm so proud of you. The day I became an ordained minister of the gospel. Mentors truly are the finest teachers. Who are you mentoring now? Exhortation. In verse 8, you see this next gift. There's exhortation, the super of encouragement, challenging one to course in action. We know this is the gift of encouragement. I think, oh, what am I going to do with the gift of encouragement? I love the gift of encouragement. Some of you, I know right now, your name is coming to my mind right now, those who have the gift of encouragement. This is a unique Greek word, literally means one who's called alongside. It's the same, it mimics the same word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 of the Holy Spirit of God, who's comforting those who are just broken in this chapter. The Holy Spirit just comes alongside and just comforts those who are brokenhearted. You read this gift, dear friends. You are mimicking the gift. You are mimicking the God of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. You are mimicking. You are driving truth home. You are appealing for actions. You're dealing with sin. Exhorters kind of make you feel like they're reading your emails right at night, right? They make wonderful counselors. I'm so grateful to God for counselors that walk through us and stick with us through the long haul. You are the Barnabases of life where you stand and you encourage. There's the gift of giving. They sense need. The supernatural ability of sharing one's substance liberally and readily. Not so much on the amount given, but the faithful benevolence with a proper motivation. It gives sincerely with a pure heart. Faithful to others. Helping and assisting others. With time, energy, expertise. It is the giver. This one who has the gift of giving is the wind beneath the wind. That's how God uses your gift. You're not looking for your name to be on any plaques or any buildings, which there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not your motivation. Look at verse 8, lead with diligence. We see the gift of ruling. If you have the King James Version, it says the gift of ruling. Really, the supernatural ability to lead folks. It's reflective of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. And you see the qualifications of a pastor. In verse 12 of that same chapter, he talks to the deacons. And he says this, of one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection. For if a man does not know how to rule his house, how will he take care of the church of God? He says the same thing to the deacons. What's really interesting with the word leadership, though, some of you have this gift, and it's done with diligence. Diligence, zeal, earnest, effort, speed, the leadership gift. Love all those words I just mentioned. You love zeal, you love energy, you love efficiency, you love to get things done. And you oppose laziness. The spiritual gift of leadership against laziness works against it. Showing mercy. The next gift he gives us is to sense the need of others. These folks are masters at hospital visits. And with the dying, addressing those who are deeply hurting, they don't hold back. Please, if you have this gift of showing mercy, do not hold back. We need you. Lean in and minister to folks efficiently and effectively. How do we live this out? How do I live out my spiritual gifts? If you're one of these seven, understand what do you enjoy doing? How do I find my spiritual gift? What do you enjoy doing, friend? The principle of discovery. God, you blessed me with this ability. I didn't know where it came from. You have the ability to lead in. You fill that blank in. The principle of development that stirs up inside of you, around you, to study that natural talent and develop it, that becomes supernatural by the gift of God. You have to work at it. It's not all honey and no bees, what my folks back in Ohio used to say. The principle of dependence, operate in the dependence of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. The principle of, you put it to work in the church because no gift was given to you for yourself. It was for the edification of the church. Your gift is so significant. So let me put it to work right now. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to put a pretty bow on this. We're going to wrap this up. So when you begin to place Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. If you have it, turn there. If you got your iPhone out, you got your phone out, you scroll to it. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Listen to this. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the line of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about every man in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, for whom the whole body joined and knit together supplies, pouring in to be effective, working by every part, does it share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What happens, friend, when you as a member activate yourself with the spiritual gift that you have and you become a minister, and as we all minister together, this body becomes perfect. Not perfect the way you think. The word literally means mature. That we become mature in Christ. That Flat Creek Baptist Church would become mature in Christ. Christ. It happens when every member steps up in faith and says, I'm going to take ownership in my ministry. This is going to be your year that you engage in 2018. It's time for you to start using the gift, that charismatic gift, that wonderful gift, that winsome gift, that charmful gift, that stop with the excuses. All right? Let's just press pause in the beginning of the year. Let's stop with the excuses of saying that you're too young. John the Baptist was in the womb and God used him. David was out there in a shepherd field at a teenage years, and he got tapped on the shoulder and said, you're going to be king. Stop saying you're too old. Moses was 80, had all kinds of excuses. Moses was 500. I know some of you came over on a boat with Moses and all that, but he was 500 years old, and God still used him. Please, dear friend, please, stop saying you've messed up too much. Have you read Peter's story? How he denies it. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. But yet in John 21, God restores him. And he sends him out on a mission. And we land in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And he literally sees thousands and thousands of people saved. And he stood in his place. And he stepped up and God used him. Stop saying you've messed up too much. As we're reading the words of the Apostle Paul, who literally had blood splattered on his garment from the death of Stephen. And he met Christ on Damascus Road, and God changed him. And he took his gifts, and they speak to our life. Because you ran into a play, I'm not going to use excuses anymore. This is your year. This is your time. To grow in the grace and knowledge like you never have before. I'm asking you to that place where God is and engage in 2018. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Saved by grace before you can serve. with grace. If you're not following Jesus, why not today? Why don't you trust him now? From your heart to God's heart, with nobody looking around, offer a prayer of surrender right now. Right now where you are, with God's heart, would you simply cry out to God, Heavenly Father, between you and God, I have sinned against you. I want forgiveness of all of my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. Father, I give you my life. Come into my life. Into my heart. This I ask in Jesus' name. With no head looking around and no eyes up. And dear friends, just between you and I. And the Lord of hosts of heaven. I ask, could you pray that prayer of surrender? You surrender your life to Christ today. This morning, you know that you're saved. But if you're really honest this morning, you simply just need prayer. You say, Pastor, I would just love for you to pray for me. You lift up your hand. I see you. My hand's up all over the... I get you. I see you. As the Lord sees those hands. I just want to pray for you this morning. Maybe this morning you need to follow the Lord and believers of the church body. What will I have to do? What will I have to say? You say, today I got saved. Today I got baptized. Today I want to become a part of the Flat Creek family, and I'll lead you the rest of the way. I'll be standing right down here to welcome you. You come as the Holy Spirit leads. Father, it's in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you give them boldness to step out, to step forward, to come as you lead, Father. We love you. We thank you for Jesus who hears our prayers now as we speak. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. You come as the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
one more time. Oh, come to the altar.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father, forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
It's been a good morning, hasn't it, church? Miss Debbie, you can come on up here with Brother Mark, and you can stand. They want you to know that they desire to become part of the Flat Creek family. And dear friends, we are excited about that. We're thankful for that. If you're in agreement with that, would you give me a big hearty amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're glad that you're here. We're thankful for that. And a lot of things happening tonight. I encourage you to come back for the Next Gen Georgia Preaching Conference. You do not want to miss hearing from Jim Perdue. I know he'll be a great blessing to you.
Maybe you want to teach. Maybe God's calling you to teach. Maybe you're one of those people that says, hey, maybe this year I might be a teacher. I'd love for you to come. It's free to you. Free dinner. We're going to have worship time and some great leadership training. I'll sign you up this morning if you want to come see me right after the services. All of the almost hate to close this service, Brother Josh. God's moving in such a mighty way. Let's pray together. Let's all stand together and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Make sure you come and speak, Mr. Jimmy and Miss Debbie, this morning. Father, thank you for such a wonderful day. God, I pray for you moving in lives. I pray that you would continue to draw people to you, and let us go outside of these walls today and tell people about you, Jesus. Just make